lives as Christians, absolutely key in the message that we proclaim. And we've also talked about the power of Jesus to change lives. The two go together. We know that to be true, don't we? And today we're thinking about a change of thinking in Scripture. A penny drop moment, as it were, in the preaching of Peter. And it comes in the middle of a conversation with a chap called Cornelius. I'll tell you about him in a moment. Our reading today comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 48. If you have a paper copy of the Bible at home, do open it. But lots of people here are turning on their phones. I'm hoping that's for Scripture and not for Twitter. But you never know. If you want to tweet the sermon, what a great witness. So, it's Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 48. And it will appear on the screen. Thank you, Zoe. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one. He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. They heard them singing in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. We're being introduced to a man called Cornelius. Earlier in Acts, we hear this about Cornelius. At Caesarea, there was a man called Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So Cornelius is a man with some power and authority. He's a centurion. He had 100 men under his authority, or so the name suggests. He is a leader in one of the best armies of the world. He is a man you'd want on your side. And he's stationed in Caesarea. Click. Can you click me on, please? It stopped working. Thank you. You might not be able to tell, but Caesarea is in the bottom of the map, where the big arrow is pointing, not to be confused with Caesarea Philippi, which is at the top of the map. There you go, a little bit of geography. It's a port on the Mediterranean. It's a place of richness and goods coming to and fro. Travel and culture collide in Caesarea. It was a place you'd want to be stationed to, like a cosmopolitan kind of place. And we hear that Cornelius is a man who is spiritually searching. He's on a spiritual journey. We're told he's devout and he's God-fearing. He's generous to those in need, we're told, and he prayed regularly. He clearly is a top chap, is Cornelius. I think I like him. But there is a problem. And the problem is that he is a Gentile. And he's not Jewish. He's outside the chosen people of God. He is not included. And perhaps we should also note, he's not yet a believer in Jesus. All of which is a problem for Peter. So at the beginning of chapter 10, which we didn't hear, but do read it later on, God engineers a supernatural way for Peter and Cornelius to meet, because they wouldn't otherwise. They're in different circles. And God needs this meeting to happen. So both Peter and Cornelius are given visions. Cornelius is given a vision of an angel who tells Cornelius to go find a man called Peter staying in Joppa, and he sends his servants off to find Peter. And at the same time, Peter's given a vision of all kinds of unclean, unkosher food. And he's told in the vision to eat the food, which he thinks is not clean under Jewish law. And God challenges him with these words. Can you click me on, please? Oh, not those words. Can you click me back? I think, there we go. With these words in Acts chapter 10, verse 15, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this is it might not sound anything to us, but it's a really challenging epiphany for a man like Peter, who has always followed the rules, a good Jewish man, of who the Jewish law says is in and who is out of what is clean and what is not. And God connects the dots of the vision with the people he brings to Peter's doorstep in order that Peter can meet Cornelius. And like we saw when we as a church studied the story of Esther, there is an even more obvious example of God moving the jigsaw pieces of human lives around supernaturally till he gets what he wants. So his will is done. And there's a very simple reason for that. Cornelius needs to hear about Jesus. He needs to hear about the saving power of Jesus Christ. He's devout. He's God-fearing. He prays. He's generous, we're told. He probably helps little old ladies across the road. He ticks a lot of boxes. But he's not encountered the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the thing that's missing for him. And at this point in human history, perhaps the biggest barrier to the spread of the gospel is the divide between the Jews and the Gentiles. Many of the earliest Christian believers in the church thought it was outrageous to want to spend any time with Gentiles. Why would you want to? They are not the people of God. We don't need to spend any time, waste any energy on them. But God has other plans. And he wants Peter, despite his heritage and his background, despite his fears and his biases, to break down whatever barriers stand in the way of Cornelius finding faith in Jesus Christ. And it is a turning point in the mission of the people of God, of the church. That and the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch declares that everybody, wherever you're from, whoever you are, you are welcome. And from this moment, all the barriers of history and heritage and hurt have been swept away because both Cornelius and Peter are obedient in what God is doing. And they end up in the same place at the same time so that Cornelius can have the gospel explained to him. He can have the gospel explained to him at the moment he's most receptive to hear it. None of the small details in this story are wasted. God knows what he is doing. And then Peter explains it all in verses 37 to 43. Can you flick me on a little bit? Thanks, Zoe. Just to one. The next slide, please. It's a really short, powerful sermon, and he, in a few sentences in our scripture, explains everything that Jesus came to be and do and why. His baptism with the Holy Spirit, his ministry, how he healed people, his death on the cross, his resurrection seen by Peter himself. He shares that Jesus is the fulfillment of Scripture. He joins the dots with what Cornelius already knows from the Old Testament. He reminds or tells Cornelius that Jesus is the judge of the living, but there's an eternal perspective. He's the judge of the dead, and that the only way for forgiveness of sins is through a living, breathing relationship with him. Great little sermon. If only all sermons were that short, some of you are thinking right now. Cornelius' heart was ready to hear. And Peter takes risky steps of obedience in stepping outside the things that he had always been faithful to be faithful to the Father heart of God that longs for everyone to know and be known by God. And hooray, Cornelius hears and he believes, helped with a good dose of the Holy Spirit. Can we have the next slide, Zoe? It says this, that some were astonished by the gift that the Holy Spirit had poured out, even on Gentiles. Shock, horror, that the Holy Spirit would deem to go and be involved with Gentiles. Well, isn't that the truth, that God often surprises us? We're often the last to know what God is up to. Thank the Lord. I love this story. And it reminds me of an uncomfortable truth that sometimes us church people get in the way of what God is doing. Peter could have done an older brother from the prodigal son impression. He could have went, hey, Lord. Sorry, I'm sounding very Yorkshire there. Now, hey, excuse me, but have you not read scripture, Lord? He could have said, we are the chosen people, not them. Good Jewish people who followed the rules all along. We are not welcoming them. But God is clear. Nope, this still isn't working. Can we have the next one, please? He says several times, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. He says, I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. This story reminds us that God wants everyone. Yes, hurrah. Cornelius was a Gentile military man. Peter was a Jewish fisherman. Their lives were nothing like each other. But God's plan included them both. And we see that time and again in Scripture. And in what God does here and now. That there are no barriers to who he wants to call to himself. Peter and Cornelius are from different worlds, but they need one another. Cornelius needs Peter to hear about salvation. Peter needs Cornelius in order to know of just who is included in God's plan and have his eyes opened a wee bit. I wonder who we need to meet in order to get the fullest picture of God's love and plan. Because there are loads of people who don't know Jesus in our community, who are not here, and that's not just because of COVID. I wonder who God might put in front of us, who he might surprise us with, the least people that we might expect who needs to hear the message of Jesus. God does sometimes put people in front of us, and thank God that he does, but we need to have our eyes unfilled to notice that it's not just the people that we think need to hear the message of Jesus, it's who God wants to call to him. God so loved the world, not just the people that we think fit into our world. God welcomes every type and every label of people with open arms, including those that we don't necessarily welcome with open arms. I wonder who that might be for you. God works to save the world and to bring his creation home. And the only way he can do that is through salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. So maybe you're listening to this morning and you're a bit of a Cornelius. Maybe you're one of the good ones, and I'm looking at you and I can see the lovely faces here. I don't know who is watching at home. I know that maybe some of us are people who get everything right. Maybe we fill in our tax returns on time. Maybe we don't break COVID rules. We've never hoarded a toilet roll in our life. Maybe we never go through a red light or even on amber. Wow. Maybe you give to charity. All of that is great. But without a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's just good stuff that ends here. We all need to meet Jesus, who's given his life for us, to tell us that we are included, we are loved more than we will ever know, and God has a plan and a purpose for our lives that will blow our minds. And the first step to that is letting God in charge of our lives. To trust him, to direct our journeys, because then life's not the same again. It wasn't for Cornelius after he encountered Jesus. And for those of us here who know Jesus, it's not been the same for us after we encountered him too. Next slide, please, Zoe. But this passage also challenges me about who we've not welcomed. Perhaps we need a visit like Peter had from heaven again to get us to rethink who's in and who's out, who's clean and who's not, who's good and who's bad, because This passage, this story today reminds me that God, the Holy Spirit of God, goes where he wants, works through who God chooses, and not through who we choose. Outside of our ways and outside of our expectations. Thank God that God will always build his church, even when we get in the way of that. So who are you welcoming? Who are you having conversations with Jesus about? And who would you not even start that conversation with, and why not? Because if you know someone who you don't think God would want, then the problem is not with them. The problem is with our hearts. This passage really challenged me, but it also reminded me, next slide please, Zoe, that we are all invited. Whoever we are, wherever we have been in the journey of our lives, we are invited to the table of God. His arms are open wide. We're going to sing about that in a moment. But perhaps God has challenged you today. Perhaps as we sing, you need to say sorry to God that you have limited his gospel to those who you want it to be told to, and not who he wants it to be told to. Perhaps we all need, as the church, to corporately say, not our will, but your will be done, Lord. Perhaps there's someone you need to share your faith with this week, or pray for an opportunity to have a word of grace or a word of truth said. Perhaps there's someone who you need to build a relationship with and just listen to their story before we get our big black Bibles out and bash them over the head with it. And perhaps you need to take a step closer to Jesus today and throw yourselves afresh into those open arms of Jesus. Because you are loved more than you will ever know by the Saviour who spread wide his arms and said yes for you, but not just for you, for every person. And his arms won't close until all are in. So whilst Emma and the band are playing, whilst they're singing this song over us, and you're invited to stand or sit or kneel or quietly pray or do whatever you want to do, be reminded that you are loved, that you are welcomed, that Jesus died for you. There's lots of people that need to hear that and know that. And that is our job, church. Amen.